From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of February, 2022. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And Eric Snodgrass will be here to discuss the weather forecast. There's a lot to unpack in both of those situations, and we'll discuss it all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org, and there you'll be able to register yourself for the Will Ag Farm Doc Spring Outlook. That's coming up on Tuesday, the 8th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is just $25. Details there, and details coming up later in this edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at $6.51. That was up 9 1/4. The May at 6.50 1/2, a dime higher. In December, new crop 10 cents higher at $5.94 3/4. March soybeans at $15.83, up 8 3/4. The May at $15.86 1/4, 9 3/4 higher. And November up 12 cents at $14.44. The bean meal at $456.60, up $2.60. The bean oil for the day at $65.72, $1.21 higher. Soft red winter wheat, 26 1/4 higher at $7.97 3/4, and the hard red at $8.24 1/4 a bushel, up 23 1/4 cents. Live cattle futures at $146.17 1/2, down 70 cents. Feeders 50 cents lower at $166.22 1/2 per 100 pounds, and lean hogs at $102.22 1/2, $1.20 lower for the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,858.40. Up $21. Crude oil at $93.11 a barrel, $3.23 higher. Diesel fuel at $2.91 0.6 per gallon, 8 9/10 higher. And the wholesale price of gasoline up 6 6/10 at $2.73 per gallon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 34,704. It is currently down 436 points, and the S&P 500 is off just about 80 points on this Friday, the 11th day of February, 2022. Mike Zuzulo, GlobalComResearch.com, out of Atchison, Kansas, is here now to talk about today's trade, yesterday's trade, and, well, for the week, and what, you know, it's been just volatile, and I don't know exactly what to make of it all. Can you help us put some of this into perspective, please?
Well, I can try, Todd, but it is an extremely fluid situation. And, you know, just as an outline, the last 3 days, we had the WASDE report, we had the CONAB numbers, and then now Friday's close, we had a re-evaluation, is the best way I can put it, by our top diplomats and heads of major government organizations like the National Security Administration and the Secretary of State, saying invasion by Russia into Ukraine could come anytime, could come including during the Olympics. And you saw a $5 rally in crude oil. You know, that's the dynamic we're living under right now. Why? Well, at the heart of this is that supply chain issue, the globalization fray that we have when it comes to getting supplies from where they should be versus where they are. And the trucker strike and blockade, I think, is based upon some Canadian updates that I've been keeping track of. They're starting to not only meddle with the manufacturing of automobiles, but also livestock, based upon some trade companies that have been in the news lately. So, I mean, for me, when I look at corn, beans, wheat, and to a lesser degree, cattle and hogs, it's still a weather-driven market, and we still don't have an answer on South American weather. It looks like it's going to get better, but we're not sure. We still don't have an answer on hard red wheat weather, which we're still not sure because the models are split. And I can tell you, of all the things going on other than Russia, Ukraine, and the idea that if we do go into conflict, we'll probably get into it with China in some way, shape, or form trade-wise, because that's what we do historically, and it involves commodities typically. The right thing right next to that is the weather, especially the hard red wheat weather, because we just saw a tremendous jump in corn drought, bean drought, and hard red and winter wheat drought this week. We're now at 71% for wheat drought right now. We were only 32% last year at this time, and look what we did to the yields last year.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Let's start with the drought portion of it, because that is an uptrending market, more than likely. How does that play into context over the next, month? And then what happens as we get into the planting season for corn and soybeans for the United States and that ever popular March acreage report?
Yeah, really nice frame on the question. The wheat corn spread went below 130 on the soft red minus corn lead month futures on Thursday. The wheat's starting to pick up some more demand around Asia, and I'm hearing it maybe picking up some demand in Europe as well on a cash basis. So wheat is back into kind of a full throttle position as far as a leader when it comes to not just the corn supplies and feed grain supplies, but also the demand side of the equation because of that spread. So maybe the best way to line it out for you, Todd, is this week, November beans, in the month of February, November beans hit 1469 and three quarters. We've never seen that price, and I went all the way back to 1973 to try and find another time where in the month of February, Nov beans was able to reach almost 1470. I mean, even in 1988, we were at $6.44, and we surpassed the 2008 previous high of 1440. At the same time, while we're dealing with 2008, 2011 bean prices, soft red wheat prices are roughly $5 below where they were back during that same time period, say in 2008 or around that time period. So to me, the wheat hasn't even essentially begun to put any kind of serious premium in the market like the soybeans have. So to me, all things that we're looking at today and talking about today, knowing that Ukraine ships out 24 million tons of wheat and 33.5 million tons of corn, whereas Russia ships out 35 million tons of wheat, 4.5 million tons of corn. If we have a naval blockade in the Ukraine and the winter wheat drought remains in the United States, and we don't know what Argentina and South America and southern Brazil are going to do, it sure seems to me the feed grains probably take over as the leaders to the upside.
So fundamentally, you have a push to the upside based on drought, but also apparently based on the potential of a blockade. And would that be put in place, do you think, by the United States?
No.
And NATO, or that would be just Russia blockading Ukraine?
Yeah, great question. Again, I think this is where Russian ships have moved out of Turkey and I believe near Syria and are now in the Baltic. I could see where the Russians blockade the Baltic so that the Ukrainians can't get anything in or out. And I think that's where it would make sense to me from a geopolitical mindset that they would want to hold in the inventories of the Ukraine so that essentially Ukrainian corn becomes Russian corn in 2 or 3 months. That's the theoretical side of it for me.
So that would be the Black Sea, and they'd leave the Azov open so that they could export from Russia.
Correct, especially to China, because they have that tie now we talked about last week. And that's the big deal, is this is where 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, I wouldn't have been as worried about commodities being used as a political or trade weapon. I have to put that on the table because of the relationship they increase between one another bilaterally.
What are you watching?
Well, the best thing to watch to me, other than the weather and obviously what the crude oil market does, because that came in late in the week and really supported us, and these dips have been dips to buy in part because of the crude oil that we've seen Thursday, Friday. I really like watching that 1565 level in March beans because it's been a really great support level several times. We've gone below it, but we haven't closed below it. So that's probably one of the first things to watch. And that right around there is a really key trend line. So with the Brazilian real, the strongest since September of last year, I think the market's going to keep buying the dips unless we break some technicals.
So a lot of bad news pushing the marketplace higher. What could change that could drop it?
Yeah, this is, it's really interesting. If you had two buckets and almost everything we've talked about has been weather and supply related. So that cost push inflation still is at the heart of what's doing this in terms of the pushing the prices upward, exactly what you're saying. So USDA did come down in demand in corn and beans globally on their WASD report. They actually pushed wheat up about 2.3 million on their exports versus January. So to me, the biggest factor is going to be whether the dollar screams higher as a safe haven, the bonds scream higher as a safe haven, and all of a sudden all the emerging markets go lower in terms of their currencies and we become super expensive super fast. That's with a weather supply driven market, that's about the only thing I could envision right now that would really hurt our trend at this point, Todd, except for the soybeans being very overvalue based upon this historical market we're at. And obviously, why I'm bringing the dollar into it is because the Fed talks next week.
Yeah, so the dollar's one thing, but you don't see a place where demand destruction comes in? Are we just that inelastic in our supply chain?
No, it's not that. I think what my research, and I'm doing some meetings coming up, and I'll be putting these up on webinars for clients, but I think the thing that I see right now, especially with the WASDE report, is we can't get a handle on supply yet because of the weather and because of these things we're talking about. And so demand naturally takes a second seat, or it is lower on the radar. And so until we can get the weather and the supply underneath us, and this includes the new crop acres in the next couple weeks with the baseline projections coming out, I don't think the market's going to really try and trade hard the demand destruction mindset. I think that comes in the livestock first, and maybe the bean oil, because they're the most elastic traditionally.
Yeah, so all well and good for the fundamentals supporting the marketplace for producers of grains of all types, oil seeds as well. End users, on the other hand, are probably in a bind. What do they do?
Very much so. And the high frequency data, including the PPI numbers and including some of the sentiment indicators and including some grocery store artificial intelligence high frequency data that I look at, starting to show that we are really starting to hurt consumption. And so I think the end users, like the cattle feeders, the hog feeders, with soy meal in China, you know, some contracts overnight made a record high based upon some reports. So we're looking at $600 a ton meal in China and $460 a ton here in the United States, and they're trying to increase their hog herd. So I think if we see a conflict develop, true conflict develop, I think you got to get 30 days of coverage in place, and that gets you into the acreage report, and then you take it from there.
Hey, Mike, thank you. I appreciate it, and I sure look forward to seeing you at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on the 8th day of March.
I've already started telling people about it. I can't wait to see you, Todd.
It'll be a fantastic day. That, of course, is Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana for the Will Ag Farm Doc Spring Outlook. That's Tuesday, March the 8th at the Beef House. Again, you can buy your tickets. They're just $25. The panelists from WILL, the Farm Doc team, you'll have a Beef House lunch, coffee and rolls from the Beef House in the morning as well. Get yourself scheduled for that. Registration is online at WILLAG.org. Another person that will be there is Eric Snodgrass of Nutrient Ag Solutions and Agrible. Eric, let's jump into the weather forecast. Oh, by the way, thank you for being here too. It's a good Friday.
Yeah, it is a good Friday. Glad we're plowing through February, which is good.
Speaking of plowing through, we have quite a bit of snowfall on the ground here. And I suppose it will melt eventually, though I'm wondering what that process will be like.
Yeah, it has warmed back up, and we've gotten some rain here on Friday that's really kind of made it a huge mess. But I read an interesting article yesterday that's kind of worth sharing. It's an extension article, and it talked about the benefit of big snows and the fact that they can end up adding somewhere between 2 to 5 pounds of nitrogen per acre onto a cornfield. Basically, the way that the ice crystals form, which is mostly a process of deposition, they can better transfer nitrogen in the atmosphere, different, you know, types of it, back into the ground. It's a fascinating article to read, and hey, we're getting a benefit out of having all this snow finally melting and getting into the surface. So I thought that was neat.
That is pretty cool. What does the rest of the winter look like in the United States?
Yeah, well, we're going to start off next week with a pretty active week. So I'm watching a system. It's over Japan today, okay? So get that. By the time we get through the weekend, it will have made it to Washington State. Once we get into Tuesday, it'll be over Arizona, and that's where the action begins. This is going to come out of the Southern Plains. It's going to go straight to the Ohio River Valley. We have the risk around here of some pretty heavy rain and possibly some strong to severe thunderstorms. Those severe thunderstorms could line the whole of the lower Mississippi River Valley when it's all said and done. But here's the thing. We got the new drought monitor, and the drought monitor showed drought expanding in Nebraska, and that's something I've had a red flag about for a while. So is spring, which was your question, going to help with that? The good news is overall that the pattern is trying to flatten out. And what I mean by that is get rid of the huge ridge that's over the west right now and drive it to the west, much farther to the west, like over Alaska, over the Aleutian Islands. So what does all that mean? If the flow flattens out and becomes more west to east, we tend to do better on our late winter precipitation, which is critical to bringing up the soil moisture. The other part of this is West-east flow means that we often don't have the brutally cold air coming in and staying. We get shots of it. We're going to see that tonight and tomorrow, but it doesn't stick around. So it's going to be, looks like, a more mild end of February, and we could go into a March that brings in decent precipitation, good for the spring and summer, and maybe less frequent ice-cold air. So there you go. All of that is a net positive to everything that every grower listening to us right now will be able to use going forward.
That's fantastic. I'd like to put an order in for warmer temperatures and no snowfall for Tuesday, March the 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, because you're going to be there, and I'm going to be there all day.
Yeah. I don't think I have those kind of connections, but I'll do what I can to dial that up, because you know what we'll be talking about at that event is what's our next look at summer, right? So we'll be getting into what are the risks, and I'm just going to give you a number to think about right now, okay? For the state of Illinois, when we go into any summer, regardless of what happened during winter or spring, on average, our risk of drought development in summer is 30%. So 3 in 10 years, okay? Our risk of drought development. This particular year, because I'm watching La Nina fade, I'm watching the cold water in the Gulf of Alaska, the statistic is up to 36%, okay? So it's above average, but it's not 90%, which means we're going to have a lot to talk about at that all-day ag outlook.
Oh, that'll be fun. Hey, thank you. I appreciate the outlook. What else are you watching in the weather?
Yeah, everything else is coming out of South America, you know, and we've kind of talked about this a lot, but there was a big drought south. It hit Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay. And we even saw, what did CONAB come out with this last week? They were down to, it was like 124 on the soybeans. Was that about right?
Yeah, 125.
125, yeah. So the damage is done there. Right now, Safrinha crop's getting planted pretty fast. It's above the five-year pace. And a lot of that's going in north, and the conditions north look pretty good. We're in the middle of a dry stretch again for southern Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina. But as we go forward, my concern is still going to be, does the monsoon shut down a little earlier than normal this year? Because that sometimes happens when there is a La Nina that fades. So there's still going to be a story coming out of South America, despite the damage that's already been done to the crop.
Hey, thanks, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Agrible joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find it online, listen to it on demand in its entirety anytime you'd like, each and every business day of the year at WILLAG.org. And there now you'll find a link to register yourself for the WILLAG Farm Doc Spring Outlook that's coming up at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the 8th day of March. That's a Tuesday, Covington, Indiana, just 4 miles inside the Illinois-Indiana border across from Danville, Illinois, on Interstate 74. It's easy to get to. You should register yourself today. The cost, $25. Include your Beef House meal at the noon hour, plus coffee and Beef House rolls in the morning. The Farm Doc team will be there. The Will Ag panelist will be there, and I sure hope you will too. Register now, just $25 at willag.org, WILLAG.org.